Hello and welcome to Happy Insights. I am your host, Happy Ali, and I am so excited for today's episode because I have an incredible guest for us today. I invited someone really special. His name is Yaron DeWitt. Did I pronounce that right?
You did. That was perfect.
Close enough. He is a QHHT past life regressionist. Now, what is that exactly? Can you explain to us what that is?
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Happy.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Yes. So what it is I help people connect to their soul through having them travel through different lifetimes. And then I talk to the higher self and ask for guidance and healing for their lives. And I do this using hypnosis. The technique was developed by Dolores Cannon.
The very famous Dolores Cannon.
Yes.
And did you always wanted to do this for a living? How did this come about?
God, no. No, I didn't know that I wanted to do this. I mean, I remember being 12 years old and getting my job aptitude test in school. And the options were like fireman, you know, accountant, engineer, stuff like that. And I knew that I didn't want to do that. So I just thought I need to be an artist. And then through my wanderings in life, I found Dolores Cannon back in 2006. And that's when it all turned on. And I knew that I wanted to do it.
And was she offering, you know, trainings at the time, or was it already happening? Because I don't know if she did it in the beginning.
She had been working with just private clients for decades. And then in 2004, she started teaching people all over the world. And I was in the Netherlands at the time and found out she was teaching. And so I was able to join her class. And this was in 2006. It was at a time when nobody really knew about her. But I just knew that I loved this lady and I loved her books. It was a book that I picked up that keyed me into her work. And I knew that this is what I wanted to do.
How exciting. We're going to go into her and talk about her in the next episode, which you agreed to do. I'm really excited. So this episode will be more about you and your work. And then thank you for doing another episode with me about her. So if you don't know who she is, you want to know more about her, stay tuned to the next episode. It will be exciting. I'm so excited because usually when I've had guests, I've already known them really well. So I know what was going to come out of their mouths.
Right.
But now this is completely fresh for me and I have no idea what you're going to say.
Ask away.
Okay, so you explained how you kind of got into it, but what did you do before this particular profession?
I've done many things. The biggest one of them is not fitting into society at all. So what have I done? Like odd jobs. I was an energy healer at the time when I met Dolores Cannon. I had a spiritual awakening in the late 90s, and it turned me on to first healing myself. And through doing that work, I found out that this is what I wanted to do, and I wanted to help other people to become more empowered as well. And so I was accessing energy healing for a while, and then in 2006 found out about Dolores. So what did I do before that? I was a runner for like local movie companies. I did work in restaurants. I worked for a clothing designer, retail. I was a spa manager for a long time. I mean, just random stuff, just to pay the bills.
And now do you feel like this is what you're going to do forever? Basically, this is your passion.
Oh, yeah. So whenever I would go to school, I would just be like a C student, and I would always have to do catch-up work over the summer and submit my work late and write reports on the train going to school. I did not like it. I was just going through it because I thought I had to. When I was in Dolores' class, it was the very first time that I was in a learning environment where I thought, well, this is really how it's supposed to be. I'm turned on. I love this work. I was so focused. I was absorbing this lady's energy and everything that she said through my pores because I just loved it so much.
And you were not a C student anymore.
No. I mean, I didn't
even pay attention.
Yes. I mean, yes, because there was no, I wasn't trying to be a good student. I just loved it so much. So this really taught me that this is part of what I want to do on the planet.
Someone actually asked me yesterday what I think of ADHD, And if it's real, and I said, of course it's real. People don't have attention spans for everything. But a lot of times it's because people are not interested in what's being offered to them. And if you find something you're passionate about, someone could have crazy ADHD and still be able to hyper-focus on what they want because that's what they're interested in.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought this up because I recently learned that I'm probably ADHD. Because I just never could focus on anything that I did not love. It was only the things that I loved to do that, I mean, unfortunately, do not fit a big part of the mold that we're fed to, you know, that is fed to us in this planet. But once I find something that I really love, I'm going with it. I'm hyper-focused.
Well, you're just not one of the, just another sheep in the herd. Because, right. That's because I've never really fit in, but I've always had different qualities that were good enough to be able to make a living, but I always felt like it was just not for me.
Yes.
And it's funny when you do find the thing that your heart song, when you find a thing that works for you, it's just like, okay, that's why all that stuff didn't work.
Exactly.
Because if they would have worked, then you would have not been here where you are today.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for that. I am really curious about your sessions because I actually discovered you on Dolores Cannon's site. I was really going deep. I had found out certain stuff about myself and I wanted to validate it and see if it was true. And other people say things and I thought, God, I want to hear this for myself, for my own inner self. And I didn't know what to expect. And I reached out to you and you were booked months on. So like it was, you had no availabilities for like two months or something, but you had one availability that was like a cancellation, I guess, for the following week. So I got lucky and I got to show up like a week and a half later. So, and then it was, I didn't know what to expect at all. And it was very interesting because I've never been hypnotized before. And it was a long session. I think it was 5 hours from beginning. And it was really, really, really interesting. And I thought, parts of me came out that I didn't know existed, but it also felt very comfortable. Like there was nothing weird about it. And the next day after our session, so much stuff came out.
Right.
I tried to get myself into a trance, see if I can get myself there or like that. And I did. And I was able to like just tap into higher knowledge. And it was because of that session, because
good for you.
But I sabotaged it, by the way, at first. So I got in there and I received information. I was receiving information and I didn't know if I was making it up.
Right.
Or if it was, because there's that whole, there's sliver of doubt. I'm like, I was making it up, but something really cool happened. I want to tell you before you get into your stuff. So I was taking this class where we would press on our eyes. We were learning to see our inner colors or something. And usually when I press on my eyes, it's just random colors like purples and greens and that would pop up. But when I was receiving the information, I pressed on my eyes and my entire field of vision turned red, which I had never seen.
Wow.
Then it slowly turned orange, the whole thing. Slowly went yellow, green, blue. It went through the whole spectrum of the chakras of the rainbow in sequential order.
Wow.
Right. And it was just while I was receiving it. And then when I stopped, it went away. And every time I go back to that same area, I thought, okay, maybe it was a location or something. I press on my eyes just to see what happens, and never again has it been that. Because it was literally like I was seeing the spectrum of the colors, but one at a time. It was the most powerful thing.
What did it feel like?
Well, the feeling was the same as I had when I was in your session.
Okay.
Like I was just, something was coming through me and speaking.
Hmm.
But then my doubt kicked in.
Right.
And then when I touched it, when I did that, I have the recording of it. And when I did it and I'm hearing, wow, what's next? It was like I was on some drug or something. And I'm like, and then after the violet color, I was like, what's next? Because, you know, it's like the violet's supposed to be their upper chakra. And what's after that?
Right.
And it was literally like all the colors were separate, but into each other. It was just this weird thing. It was just incredible. I think I was just like my jaw dropped. But I think the only reason I was able to get there was because of our session.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had never been able to go that deep. And the funny part is I have been trying to do this for 10 years to be able to receive information that clearly. Mm-hmm. And I sabotaged it the next day. Like I literally like got into self-doubt so much that I hadn't been able to get back into that same space again because I questioned myself.
Yes.
So that's why I feel like I need to come back.
So this is, I mean, doubting oneself is something that comes up. Oftentimes the sessions function as a way for people to trust their own inner guidance more or to become aware of that they are their own guidance. Like what we do is connect people to their higher self or their soul. And many of us go into this session thinking that it's like the good part of them that is not part of their normal everyday experience. And their stupid, bad part just has to be moved to the side and then the proper, good, divine part can come in. And that is not how it works. Because you are your higher self. We are all our higher selves. And it's just a refocusing from the normal day-to-day conscious mind part of our consciousness to going to the higher self part. And that's not very hard. And it doesn't feel very different for many people because it's who you are at your core. And being in a session for like, you know, 2.5 hours, having this prolonged experience, connecting to it, that's where the healing takes place. And this builds confidence over time. I mean, everybody's at their own point in their evolutionary path, but this is what happens. There's an uptake in trust in the higher self.
Yeah, and but when you have someone like you facilitate it, it's so much different than when you're on your own, because then your own head starts coming in and saying, hey. And sometimes when you receive, I don't know if it's happened to you, when you receive something extraordinary where it's really different, the skeptic has to come in and say, you're crazy. I don't, for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm scientific and spiritual at the same time.
Yes.
So there's a part of me that's always wanted to disprove the magical thing that's happening. For example, I started meditating regularly about 1.5 years ago. And when I start meditating, my entire body goes numb. And my third eye on my forehead, where do you imagine the third eye would be, starts tingling like crazy. And it's weird. It's a weird sensation. But I even went to the doctor to get it checked out to see if there was something wrong with my forehead.
Wow.
Because I thought, oh, wow, it can't be anything spiritual happening on my third eye. Mm. And it's funny because I think, okay, if my whole body's going numb, wouldn't my forehead go numb too?
Right.
You know, but logically, like part of me wants to disprove it so many times because I want to be taken seriously for what I do. And I realize that some of this stuff requires a leap of faith.
And knowing that these kind of experiences are unique and your own and they're good, you mean, or?
Yeah, well, like, yeah, to know that what you're experiencing is different as it is, it's real.
Yeah.
Because it's this whole thing, especially for me, because I have a platform where I speak. I don't want to be a fraud in any way.
Sure.
So I keep questioning myself. And I think that actually slows me down.
It does, but it's like that for all of us, as far as I can tell. I mean, having done this work for 16 years and having had my own healing journey, it's still part of my own experience too, that I question and criticize. And like my sort of I have clairsentience. I can feel things. But oftentimes when I start feeling things, I think something's wrong.
I'm clairsentient too.
Yeah. So, and I'll go through like other people and Akashic Records readers and to just confirm like, oh no, this is part of who I am on this planet. And I mean, it's gotten better over the years, but I see it in my own life and your life and my clients' lives that we're not taught to really acknowledge our uniqueness. Our parents don't know how to do that for us because they're fed into what they were taught and the traumas that the generations before them sort of perpetuated. So we don't come in to this life learning how to really fully acknowledge and validate and hear and see the totality of who we are, including those clairsentience or way of experiencing energy or seeing energy. So this is all kind of put in the corner of, well, this is kind of weird and don't know what it is. And, you know, we're not prone to validating the experience, but I think we're learning.
Yeah, and it's hard because, you know, there's so many other people out there that are very scientific, and science means something that can be replicated over and over and over and over again.
Right.
And things like this are not things that can be replicated over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Some, for example, the colors that I saw.
Right.
That was a one-off thing. You know, it happened, and then maybe it'll happen again.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I can go into a lab and they can be like, they can't monitor my colors or
yes,
the experience. So now that we talked about that a little bit, I want to know about what typically happens in a session. What people, is there a common theme? When I mostly, are people coming to find out what they lived before generally? Is because I know, what does the QHHT stand for, by the way?
It is Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique. Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be called just past life regression, but Dolores changed the name because the past life regression name didn't fit what she was doing anymore, because people would go into future lifetimes or other dimensional lifetimes or alien lifetimes. And she added a part to this regressive technique that involves talking to a person's soul or higher self, going into the quantum field of a person's experience and facilitating healing. So this is why she changed the name.
And when you say facilitating healing, what kind of healing are you talking about?
This is healing in the quantum field. So energy healing, I guess you could say it. It's not like I, you know, hold up my hands or I facilitate that healing through my body, but I help a person to connect to that part of them and then it will facilitate the healing for them. So it's their soul coming in and facilitating the changes or the healing that need to happen.
And will people have actual physical breakthroughs of some sort?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That happened. Yeah. So physical healing happens, emotional healing happens, mental healing happens on all levels of our existence. If it's appropriate for a person to move through physical healing, then it will happen. And it doesn't always happen for everybody. So sometimes people come in with a list of questions and they just expect these questions to be checked off, including lots of physical healing. But it's not the best for everyone. You know, we just think from our human perspective that we should be free of whatever physical ailments we have, but it's not always serving us. I had a woman come in and she had severe sight issues. When I talked to her higher self and asked it, well, can you please take care of this, make sure that she can see? It told me that they could fix it on the spot, but they were not going to, because it would distract from the miracle of her life, which was going to be for her to embrace her authenticity and to create a life that had more meaning and that felt better for her, but that they would help her to not struggle with her vision anymore. And so I got this thank you note in the mail 4 weeks later, and it said that she could notice that the anatomy of her eye was still impaired, but that she no longer had to squint and struggle to see it. She could see better.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I believe all illness comes from a source. There's a reason for it. There's an internal spiritual reason for everything. Whenever we have a blockage or whenever we need to see something in a different way, physical ailment can really get your attention enough to put you on the right path.
Yes.
And I hate this whole thing because I've had some issues, physical stuff that happened. The last one being really dramatic, where it was something that they were like, it's gonna, something that's going to get just ruined and never get fixed. It was some one of those things that it was like, there is no cure for this.
Mm.
And it made me really change the way I look at myself and appreciate myself and my body and my everything. I became more in love with myself, coming from a person who was very self-critical, visually, aesthetically.
Yeah.
And now, ever since that incident happened, which wasn't as dramatic as they made it sound, I feel like because of it, I see myself in a new way. And I would have never seen myself that way had it not been for that physical issue.
Yeah.
So I really feel like there's a root cause in everything. And so many people I know don't want to admit that they're responsible or there's something to be gained from something bad.
Yeah.
And they want to be the victim kind of in the situation.
Yeah, and it's understandable because it can get really uncomfortable. And, you know, when I mention our responsibility, it's not like from the human perspective that you have created this, but it's more how I see it or what I hear through my sessions, that we opt into certain experiences as a soul before we start this physical life, and we kind of plan it out. And, you know, this is not a place where we go for smooth sailing. You know, we come here to learn through duality, through contrast. So, of course, from the human perspective, we want it to be, you know, just snacking in Netflix, you know, all day long, all the time. And whenever, like, any bumps in the road or speed bumps appear, we just want it to be smoothened out as quickly as possible. But that is not what we came here for. It is through, just like you said, through these challenging experiences that we do get to expand, because it's only through these triggering experiences, when there is emotional upset in us, that we are really cattle prodded into examining, you know, how do we make this feel better on the inside? And it often leads to people expanding in their life, or leaving jobs or relationships, or just going about themselves in a different way. And it often is more self-loving, just like you described.
Yeah, I think my third episode of my podcast, I went into some of the stuff you said. You were just sounding exactly the stuff that I had said, all about how we didn't come here to just get this perfect job, get this thing, and then retire and just chill.
Yeah.
And have enough money to not to even think about life and not have the perfect children.
Yeah.
That's not what we came for. We came to transform, to become something new, to expand, you know?
Expand consciousness. Yeah, that's how I see it too.
And physically, I always feel like we come to contribute to the physical expansion as well. So we have some sort of responsibility, and then we have the emotional. I think the part of us that transforms is the part of us that we take with us. So you can get all the money in the world. You can make all the money in the world, but you're not going to take your money with you.
Right.
But you're going to take your expanded consciousness with you.
Yeah, that's what we came here for. It's like the soul's journey versus like physical goals journey on the planet. And I think more people are waking up to that now, that this physical realm is just, it's like a game or a screen that is used to expand the soul.
It's a tool. I think about the muscles, how people go to the gym and grow muscles.
Yeah.
And the machines, for example, that help you build muscles, they're there to give you a difficult experience.
Yes.
They're not there to just for you to just go hang out. They're there to, and then as soon as you learn how to, you know, lift a specific amount of weights, you up your own weight.
Right.
So it's kind of like this world is, to me, is the same. As soon as you get a handle or a hang of something in life, then it's like, oh, here's something new.
Right.
There's something new. Now you've grown. Now you've plateaued. Let's go to the next thing.
And I don't know about you, but the gym is really uncomfortable for me. So
I don't love the gym, but I do love how I feel when I'm working out.
Afterward. Oh.
In general, because I feel like my body is more
alive.
And especially now that I'm over 40, I feel that when I don't work out, if I run up the stairs, I'll be out of breath.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. I want to be able to just run and not be out of breath. Forever, ever and ever and ever. Okay, so I want to ask you something about your sessions. Like, typically, when you have someone go into a session, what happens in a session?
All right, so they're typically around 5 hours long, and how it's structured is that people would bring in a list of questions regarding their life. Could be information or healing for physical issues, emotional issues, mental issues, relationship stuff, finances. Usually the first question on the list is about life purpose. And so they would come in and we would have a conversation about their current lifetime for about 2 hours. We will just be sitting on chairs across from each other. And then we'll go over their questions. Then they'll lay down on a comfortable table with some light cover. And then there is the induction, the hypnotic induction, followed by exploring one or more different lifetimes for about 45 minutes to an hour. And then I switch to calling forth their subconscious mind to ask it about why they were shown these scenes or these lifetimes, followed by getting their questions answered and their requests for healings taken care of. And then that finish up the session, and it's about 5 hours long.
Wow, yeah, it was amazing. I really have to say that if you've never done this before, I recommend it. It was amazing for anyone who's listening. It was really interesting. And mine was frustrating sometimes listening to the recording because, you know, you brought in my higher self or inner self and it would speak about me in the third person.
Yeah.
And I'd say, what is his purpose? And then my higher self would say, he knows.
Right. Well, I hope I was a good facilitator and asked, well, can you please spell it out for the sake of the recording or something?
It was really powerful because I did realize I knew so much of it, you yes. know? And I kind of came to you for validation and I wanted something. I don't know if I wanted something new. I actually came because I had the idea that I was a starseed and I wanted to kind of confirm that.
Right.
And that was, and we'll get into that in the next episode. So I want to ask you, if you've had, well, I'm sure you've had a lot of experiences where it was really interesting or profound or shocking, but can you think of an example of something that you experienced that was really cool sure. from my perspective or just interesting?
Yeah. So it's gotten so normal to me now to be in this world where I hear just wonderful, magical things, both through people's current lifetimes when they talk to me about their lives. I was going to refer back to this experience you had in the, you know, the middle of your head. So I talk to people about their current lifetime, and you're not alone. There's lots of people that have very similar experiences and even more crazy ones regarding their own spiritual awakening or these experiences that lots of people are having right now, and that's my normal now. Including when people are in sessions, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that can happen. People can start to speak light language. Like their alien star family can come in and can do healings on them, or angels or ascended masters. I always really like when people go into past lives and they come out of it and they ask me, did I make this up? And then they go Google the information and they can pull up lived experience, historical data regarding the experience that they had.
Wow.
So one of the more recent sessions that happened in was a woman who came to see me from the UK, and she didn't know her current biological father until she was 19 years of age. And so one of her questions that she brought in was, have we been in different lifetimes together? Have I been with this man in different lifetimes? And so we did a whole session. It was wonderful. I get to the part where I talk to her higher self and I ask her this question. And then she says, her higher self says, yes, they were together during the Renaissance. And I go, well, great. What was the setting? What was the deal? And it says, she, my client, was Michelangelo, the artist, that he was gay, had many, many different lovers, but that her dad from her current lifetime was his then long-term assistant. And at this point, the conscious mind of my client chimed in and she goes, I can hear a name. And she had trouble sounding it out. So I had her spell the name out letter for letter. And she spelled me a name that was spelled P-R-I-E-T-R, Prieter. It didn't sound Italian to me, but I just noted it down. We wrapped up the session. She goes home. And I Googled this information, and I find this little paragraph that said that he had a assistant for 25 years who helped him paint a Sistine Chapel mural, and whose name was Pietro Urbino. So she nailed that name almost.
Wow.
Yeah. I love it when it happens. And this is quite common. So this is why we as practitioners ask like trivial information when people are in their session. Like, we find them at their dinner table having a meal with their family in a different lifetime. I ask them about tableware. What are you eating? What are you wearing? Like really stupid, mundane information, because when people come out of it and thinking they just made it up and they go home and they Google that information, it ties it in with, you know, lived experience often. So the bigger sort of case or miraculous case that I was part of has been made into a book called The Boy Who Knew Too Much. And it's the story of a woman that she had with her current life son, who started telling her at age two that he used to be a tall German baseball player and that she was his mom in that lifetime as well. And she initially thought that this kid just had a vivid imagination. But she would take him to places like the Dodger Stadium, and there would be a big poster of Babe Ruth on the wall. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm the kind of gay. I have no genes for sports at all. It's completely over my head. I thought it was a candy bar. But little Christian, his name is Christian, totally freaked out. Little Christian totally freaked out, started pointing at that poster saying, that man is really bad. We had a really big fight. He's a Batman, to the point where she needed to take him out of the area because he was having a meltdown. Stuff like that would happen that would point to there being more at play than just this kid's imagination. So she comes in with this information into the session, and I tell her, well, this is wonderful, but I don't know what your higher self is going to show you, because I'm not going to tell it what to show you, because I don't know what's best for you. Your higher self does. And we explored her lifetime as Christina Garrick, Lou Gehrig's mom, on the East Coast in the 1930s and 40s of the last century. And she was able to get lots of trivial details from that lifetime, you know, like awards that she had been given by her son Lou Gehrig, jewelry that she was given, or things that she had given to her children. We found her at the dinner table. She knew the German nicknames for her kids.
Wow.
When I moved her to an important day in her life, she was walking to the Yankee Stadium. She was going to see her son play for the first time. And so again, here I go with the mundane questions. Are you having any snacks during the game? And she goes, yes, we're having warm nuts. And I'm thinking, are they peanuts? And she goes, no, they're chestnuts, I think. And Kathy was living in Orgora Hills. She's Californian. She had never even seen chestnuts in her life. And I asked her, well, are you drinking anything? And she goes, yes, we're having a cola. Like, what American-born person would refer to a Coke as a cola? So she was almost going into using different language or language from a different time. So we had this experience where she was very detailed in recalling this past lifetime. She came back two more times. We would go back into the same lifetime. Now, this is remarkable because I've never had this happen since. And so I asked her higher self, like, why are we doing this? Why do we have to go back into this? I mean, it's great, but why go back to that same lifetime? We would explore different periods of it. And so it told me that she was to sort of mine this lifetime for verifiable details that she can go and fact check with still living descendants and relatives of the Garrick family, and then write a book about the experience, and that the book would have access to a larger demographic of people because it would have the subject of baseball with it, but also this level of verifiability, stuff that she couldn't have known about. And it would allow more people to expand their mind thinking about their lives. It is not just this life, but that they have a soul that lives two different lifetimes.
Wow, that's really incredible. I'm in awe of that story.
Yeah, and those I love those. So I'm always asking lots of trivial questions, but then of course there's also the alien ones where people start speaking with a different voice, so it can sound more metallic or cut short or light language. I mean, those are, I mean, I don't know. I guess I can have a favorite. It's just like miraculous every time any of that stuff happens.
Did that woman ever tell you what happened with her, what happened with her son and Babe Ruth, the candy bar?
Yes. No, there was. There was. I think we got into it in a session. Yes, there was a moment where there was like rivalry or conflict, or Babe Ruth started dating Lou Gehrig's ex or a girlfriend. There was like some personal trouble happening there.
That's so interesting. That's so fascinating. Your job sounds so fun.
It is to me. Yeah, I fucking love it. Yeah.
It's amazing because it's like you're experiencing so many different stories. It's like reading a book every time, I would assume.
For me, it feels like watching a new episode of some crazy sci-fi show every day.
That sounds amazing. That's just fascinating because it's just not what normal, regular people experience on a regular basis, you know?
Right.
And it's such a, I think when I tell my family about just the whole concept of past life regression, half of them are so interested and the other half just think I'm crazy. Which brings me to the question, what's people's reaction, your family or friends or people just that you meet, when you tell them what you do for a living?
Well, now it's usually very positive and exciting. I have grown in confidence because I used to use language that was more accommodating to people that didn't know about it, but now I just kind of just rip into it. I just say what I do and I don't really care how it lands. Yeah, but in general, now here in California and Los Angeles, there is some sort of point of reference, or they have some reference to the concept of past life regression. as I've gotten more comfortable with who I am, I now attract more people like myself. So I'm kind of moving around in a bubble of people that know all about Akashic records and aliens and star seeds and, you know, New Earth and all that stuff. So it doesn't happen very often that I talk to people that it's completely new for, but I'm trying to think of a recent experience.
By the way, you've dropped a lot of bombs right now. Aliens, Akashic records, New Earth. We're going to discuss this in the next episode because there might be a lot of people who are listening right now who have no idea about any of this stuff.
Right.
Because if you would have talked to me 3 years ago, I would know nothing.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to go into the next one. I didn't mean to cut you off, but.
So yeah, right now I don't have people, I don't encounter a lot that people have an odd reaction to it. My family, I'm from the Netherlands. It's a very cerebral analytical culture and it's not very religious. It's one of the most secular cultures on the planet, which has its advantages, but also disadvantages. And so my parents just think it's cool, but they don't believe what I believe. Like I believe in source, creator, universe. You know, they are recovering Catholics and they just kicked all religion out the door and they just think, you know, it's this lifetime and then when you die, you're just dead and that's it. Yeah. But they think it's cool. They really support what I do, even though it's not what they think about life.
My mom is really cool. She was born, we were raised Muslim, but she's so open to anything I learn and discover, and she knows how picky I am with the new kind of information that I adopt, and that I don't just take anything lightly, and I really do my research, and it has to resonate with every part of my being, that whenever I tell her something, she just accepts it so quickly.
Wow.
When I told her, you know, I discovered things about aliens, she was like, oh, tell me, and then she would be like, oh, that makes sense.
Wow.
She just was so quick. And it's shocking because she has a very strong religious background.
Yes.
But I'm very lucky with my mom when it comes to that because but I would never tell my dad about any of this stuff.
Mm.
And when I created the podcast, I wanted to talk about like scientific stuff, but I really wanted to go as far left as possible because I feel like we need to embrace every aspect of existence.
Mm.
And that's why I thought you would be such an amazing guest because you work with the subconscious and the spiritual aspect of life. So it has to be a little bit of science and a little bit of everything. It mixed together. So you're my ideal person to talk to. So thank you for coming.
Yay.
I really appreciate it. We have to wrap this episode up. Can you tell us how people can find you?
Sure. So I'm based in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley, and that's where my office is. You can find me through my website. It's my first name, JeronQHHT.com. But it's easier to get to me through Instagram, which is my first name, JeronOen. And then my affirmation is love. Jeroen is love on Instagram. And you just DM me or leave me a message.
And do they have to be in person or can you do it on Zoom or something?
Yeah, QHHT is done in person, but I do group regressions through Liberate Yourself and then Meditation and the Mindry in Malibu. And am I forgetting something? I think that's it.
So the group meditation, is it in person still or is it online?
They're both either in person or hybrid or online. Yeah, those can be done online.
Just because I was so lucky, you happen to live 20 minutes from me.
Right.
But I know there'll be people who will be interested and there'll be very far.
Yeah, so they can go to QHHT Official. That's the website of Dolores's daughter who still teaches the course to do this work yourself. But you can use the Find a Practitioner tab and find somebody in your area to do this work with. There are so many practitioners now.
Which is how I found you. That's so exciting. Well, if you haven't done this, make sure you check it out. It's really cool. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate having you here.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening in. I look forward to the next episode. Make sure you tune in. Have a beautiful day.